Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. And Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is sitting across from me here in our studio. He's been in office for a year now, and we're talking with the governor about his priorities for the state. And there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What do you want to ask the governor? What do you want Wisconsin to do with surplus tax dollars? How do you think he can help dairy farmers? Call 800-642-1234. You can also email your questions to ideas@wpr.org. Governor Evers, welcome to the morning show.
Thanks, Keely. How are you today?
Good, thanks. We've got a lot of news happening this week. Wisconsin has hundreds of millions of dollars in a projected surplus, and you've just asked the legislature to spend some of that on education, tax relief, $250 million of it. What do you want that money to do?
Well, first of all, what we want, well, first of all, talking just about the surplus itself, half of it is going into the rainy day fund, which is a good idea. You never know where the economy is going. So that aside, there's still about $400 million left. And our plan is to do two things: increase funding for our schools and reduce property taxes. And frankly, we can do both. Actually, we want to get the schools of the state to two-thirds funding, which is something the Republicans had as a goal last time around when we did a budget. And actually, when Governor Walker was governor, his Blue Ribbon Task Force, that was one of his major goals, is to get to two-thirds funding. And so we can do that. We're using $230 million for that purpose. And that is, yes, it increased funding for the schools so that they can get back to two-thirds funding, but it also reduces the pressure on them to have to go to referenda, which has happened over the last 6 or 7 years at great numbers, and that's just not sustainable. So having more state funding will reduce that pressure on the taxes. And then we're going to take $130 million to go right into property tax relief. It's called equalized aid, which isn't an aid. It goes against the property tax bill. And so we believe it will help schools avoid going to referendum. It actually will give them some more resources, especially in the area of special education and mental health. And then we are also going to, and rural schools funding also. And then the remainder, the $130 million, will go right into property tax relief. So we believe it connects all the dots going forward.
So let me clarify. Is it $250 million total for schools and tax relief, or is the $250 million for schools and then there's additional money from the surplus for tax relief?
Right. It's $130 million plus $250 million, $300 some million, as I remember it. But the money all has property tax relief component to it, because the $130 million to go into tax relief is directly on the tax bill. The other makes it less need, that schools reduces their need to go to referendum.
Yeah, we spoke with Republican State Representative Jim Steinecke earlier on the program today. He says supports more funding for education, but says that lawmakers should handle that in the regular general budgeting process, not with surplus dollars. What's your response?
Well, we're looking at using the surplus dollars to take care of some water control, water quality issues, and some issues around homelessness and mental health. So but in this case, it is around property tax relief, and that's what they want.
Yeah. Republicans are also, he says, going through ideas of how to return this money to people. Steinecke says, you know, this is essentially people in Wisconsin overpaying for what we have budgeted. So why not just look initially, when you see this surplus, to returning it to the people of Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's a good question. But the fact that the state hasn't done their share in supporting our public schools financially, that money is raised locally now through property taxes. And so if we want to help local property taxpayers, this is a way of the state making that happen. So it is property tax relief, but it goes to the schools. And by raising their ability, or raising the money that's coming from the state, that lowers their need to go to the local taxpayer. So it's the same. It comes out with the same thing, but it also gets us to some goals that we want.
How do you respond, though, to the criticism that this is an oversimplification, but really, you know, we've budgeted for $80 worth of something, and I, as a taxpayer, have given over $100 of it, and instead of giving me that $20 back, because it's not in the budget, you are going to use it in different areas, albeit school funding. I mean, can you see why people would think that that's my money? I'd prefer it come back in a tax rebate of some sort.
Oh, a tax rebate they have to wait for anyway. So it's not as if everybody's going to suddenly receive a notarized check from Scott Fitzgerald. It comes out the same, and frankly, I think they'll get more of it, and they'll get better schools as a result.
And, you know, there have been different priorities between the governor's office and the legislature. If Republicans in the legislature reject the school funding plan and instead do pass a tax cut, is that something you're prepared to sign, or would you veto it?
I'm not prepared to even consider that now. I have a priority for our kids, and that's where I'm at.
We're talking with Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And let's bring Mike from Wanakee on. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, and good morning, Governor. I just wanted to make the comment that historically, tax cuts and things like that favor the more wealthy, the richer people of Wisconsin, whereas educational funding typically favors the more rural districts, the poorer citizens of Wisconsin. And I think the problem is I think there's the hurdle of the tax cuts provide what, you know, that cash grab, the feeling of, hey, I'm going to have money now. The problem is to do any kind of rebate is going to cost money, so there's going to be less money going out to people, even if we do something like that, versus being able to apply that money towards education and towards property taxes, which will, especially in rural districts, help alleviate the tax bills, especially with so many referendums going on. I'm just curious, how are you going to approach getting over that immediate cash grab mentality to try to get people to understand that really the best thing for the majority of people in Wisconsin is going to be the educational funding versus immediate tax cuts?
Mike, thanks so much for that question. Governor Evers.
Yeah, Mike, what we'll do is take you on the road and talk to people around the state about that issue. Of course, it's not only more fair to everybody because not everybody pays taxes at the same level. So this every property taxpayer will receive a tax cut under this plan, and it at the same time makes sure that education is funded at the level that everybody wanted. You know, it's disappointing to me to hear that when the Assembly Republicans send me a letter saying we got to get to 2/3 funding, and we find a way to do that without, and at the same time reduce property taxes. That seems like a good deal to me. I'm not quite sure what's why they changed their tune about 2/3 funding.
And Governor Evers, are you open to small changes to your plan? Because right now this is a plan, or is it the plan?
Well, certainly, I believe reaching common ground is important, and if we can do it with making minor changes or you know, combining things, I'm fine with that.
All right, Governor Tony Evers stays with us. We're taking your questions for him at 800-642-1234. Do you live in rural Wisconsin? How's the economy doing where you live? What do you think about the governor's call for citizens to be involved in drawing the state's political maps? Now is your time. You can email us your questions, your comments to ideas@wpr.org. Our conversation continues ahead. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. from calls for special sessions on agriculture and a tax surplus to school funding. We're talking with Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina, and there's room for you in our conversation. You can email ideas at WPR.org with your question for the governor, and you can also tweet us. We are at WPR Mornings. And let's jump right in. John from Richland Center has a question for the governor. John, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for letting me through, Governor. It's a privilege to talk with you this morning.
Good morning, John.
My question is related to, I had heard that you'd put proposals out to expand dairy farm aid, and it's almost as if Republicans now want to one-up you, and I read an article that they want to maybe even do a lot more than what you had proposed doing. My question is, you know, it's pretty obvious, I think, if you look at it, that there's plenty of existing support for farms and farmers. And despite all that support, they clearly don't work or haven't worked. And so I'm wondering two things. One, what makes you think that the support that you and or Republicans are proposing will have any more effectiveness than what we have currently? And I guess the second question is maybe a little hypothetical, but when will it ever be enough support? Will there ever come a day when we maybe realize that, you know, supporting people and businesses that aren't viable on their own because of market forces just does not work? We're really just kind of fighting nature.
All right, John, thank you so much for those questions. John is talking about some proposals you put forward, a recent State of the State address to try to better help with the state's dairy crisis, Governor Evers.
Yeah, and John raised a couple of good questions, and I'll try to address the last one first, and that's providing funding or support to businesses or farms that maybe it's time that they're going to fail anyway. And just talking about dairy, I don't believe that's the case. I think there is a strong export market that we can try to get and help farmers get rid of some of the oversupply of milk. But in addition, I think if we worked with them to provide funds, not necessarily to expand their output, but to provide them with the resources they need, whether it's loans or grants or expertise, to use technology to make their operations more efficient, not expand their herds and have more output, but to increase their bottom line. And that's everybody's goal, is to increase their bottom line. So I think we can do some things there. The other money that we're providing in this proposal is about farmer mental health, making sure that that we have opportunities for them to diversify, which is another way to get more product to the market and more money in their pockets. So I think there's ways that we can we can use to do that. The first question was about the current programs and what the Republicans are proposing and what we're proposing. That's all it's kind of sorting out. I mean, what you read about was a kind of an initial salvo, and so hopefully at the end of the day we will have a good program that brings support to farmers where they're at, and also helps them become more efficient so that their bottom line is better.
And Governor Evers, you say it's not necessarily about producing more, because there's long been a push to sell dairy, even right, back to the Got Milk commercials, and right, we have this milk surplus. And yet one of the proposals that you are putting forth is this idea that Wisconsin should increase its dairy exports to 20% of the milk supply, right, in the United States. So how do those work together?
Well, increasing exports, and that's a good idea, that helps us use some of that surplus we have. I don't believe the exports will necessarily cause people to, if we increase exports, cause people to produce more milk. I think what it'll do is it'll give them more markets to sell the milk they have.
So it's about generating more demand, right, outside of Wisconsin than it is about creating more supply here.
Right, right. You know, we believe that for the most part there is an oversupply in the state. Actually, there are people that don't agree with that, but I think there is. And also, we're going to have more competition from outside the country. The Journal Sentinel articles that this last winter talked talking about large dairy farms in Cambodia and Vietnam and so on. So we're already having some competition there. So it's more finding ways to diversify farming, dairy farming, and then also sell the oversupply that we have, and also help them get the technology they need, especially small and medium-sized farms, to become more efficient, therefore a better bottom line.
We're talking with Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers. He's a Democrat who's more than a year into his term here leading Wisconsin. And we're also taking your calls, your questions for the governor at 800-642-1234. And next, let's go to Ann from Campbellsport. Ann, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning, Governor Evers. I want to thank you for the job you're doing despite all the political obstacles you're facing. But my main concern is about gerrymandering and the Republican lock on their elections through that process. I've heard Robin Voss and my senator, Dewey Strobel, state it's their constitutional duty to draw the maps, but they don't ever mention how, for the first time in 2010, the lines were drawn by computer software. I've also heard they are promoting or going forward with a process that will bypass your veto on any gerrymandering efforts. Can you offer some hope that gerrymandering will end and all of our votes will count?
Yeah, thanks, Ann. And I'll quickly answer that. What I know is that the governor has had the veto over the legislators drawing in the maps of for the entire time the state's been a state. It's been challenged a couple of times, and the Supreme Court has supported the governor's veto. So I am going forward believing that that's going to happen. I have a chance to veto that. In turn, what we have set in motion is to have a commission that will, outside of that legislative process, go around the state and listen to people and work with the people in the congressional districts that we have, and at the end of the day, draw fair maps and nonpartisan maps. And so we will give that to the legislature. They can consider it. Clearly, they've indicated that they're going to draw them as they have in the past in secret and gerrymander them as badly as they have before. And so people have a chance to look at the maps that our commission does, a nonpartisan map versus what the legislature does. And I believe that they'll prefer ours. And so that may end up in court, but we will have an option for the legislature, a good option that does nonpartisan maps.
Governor Evers, how do you respond, though, to criticism that you, a Democrat, can't create a nonpartisan commission because, by definition, there's partisanship involved?
Well, I won't be doing it. The people that are on this commission will be nonpartisan, and they'll draw the maps. Simple as that.
All right, let's bring in one more call while we've still got the governor here. Joan from Eau Claire is ready to talk. Joan, what are you wondering this morning?
Good morning. Thank you, Governor Evers, for all you do.
Thanks,
my question is, what is your plan moving forward for preserving our pristine Wisconsin environment, and especially with an uncooperative legislature? And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thanks, Joan, for the question. We are planning to do that in several different ways, and we're working with the legislature to preserve our water. That's clearly one of our top priorities. The year of the clear water was clean drinking water was last year, and we're going to continue that on until it actually has happened. But we're getting some bipartisan support to regulate PFAS in the state of Wisconsin, those chemicals that don't ever go away, legacy chemicals. And so that's a great starting point, but we also need to work, frankly, with our farmers and industries of the state and homeowners to make sure that agriculture practices are such that we can mitigate nitrates going into the soil as well as phosphates. And so I think we're in a good starting place, Joan, but it's going to take a lot of work. Anytime you use the words regulation, that gets people kind of crazy. And so we want to work with businesses and our farmers and our environmentalists and draw up a good plan. But we're headed in the right direction, I'll tell you that.
Governor Evers, I've noticed that all of our callers today have had some sort of reference to the fact that the Republicans control the legislature and you're a Democrat, and we've seen some impasse there. So sure. How are you committed to figuring this out and making this work for the people of Wisconsin, regardless of the issue?
Yeah, well, we certainly have to reach common ground, and that's been tough to do. We essentially did that with a budget we passed last year where we proposed a budget and set a very, very high bar. The Republicans, I believe, went to a place that they felt some discomfort going to, and we had a pretty much of a bipartisan compromise budget at the end of the day. So that's a good way to do it. But the politics nowadays, and we are just we reflect the national politics. Thank goodness we're not anywhere near what goes on in Washington, D.C., but we just have to keep working at it. There's no magic wand. We try to put together proposals. I believe our education proposals with $250 million and $130 million of that going into direct property taxes, I think that should be bipartisan, because that's exactly what the legislature has asked in the past.
All right. Governor Evers, thank you for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thanks.
That was Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers talking about special session plans, the dairy industry, a budget surplus, and, of course, taking your questions. Up next is news. Then WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief joins the program to continue this conversation about state politics. What questions do you have after Governor Evers' comments? What news are you watching out of the Capitol? 800-642-1234. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We are talking about state politics this hour of the morning show. The governor had to leave. And up next here on the Ideas Network is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief to expand the discussion. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we want to hear from you. What do you think about the tax surplus going toward funding for education? Do you agree with the governor's suggestion, or do you like what you've heard from Republicans in the legislature saying, let's consider a tax cut with this? 800-642-1234 is the number to call to talk with us this morning. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Sean Johnson, reporting on all things Wisconsin State Capitol, also co-host of WPR's Politics Podcast. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we just spoke with Governor Evers. You were listening. What are your takeaways from that conversation?
I guess one takeaway, and I'm not sure that I heard him address this previously, is just what he said about what he might do if the legislature does not take up his education plan that he wants to use the surplus on, and instead sends him a tax cut. I listened to it a couple times just to make sure, and he did not say for sure, you know, whether he would sign or veto that plan. It's a position that he could be put in based on what legislators have said, or at least legislative leaders have said it to this point, that they don't want to pass his education funding proposal and instead want to pass some kind of a tax cut. So if they do that, what's he going to do?
He
definitively did not say, right?
Yeah.
So I guess I just haven't heard him address that, I guess, kind of point blank.
Yeah, and you're talking about the plan that he presented yesterday that puts $250 million of this unexpected tax surplus toward education. What have we heard from Republicans on this proposal? And help us break down what the governor's going for. Let's start with the governor.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess the reason we're talking about this at all is that mm-hmm. in late January, we had these new estimates come out from the legislature's nonpartisan budget office, excuse me. And they said that the state's collecting $818 million more than expected. A bunch of that's deposited automatically into the rainy day fund, $400 million plus. But the state's going to end this budget with $450 million more than was previously projected. So Republicans right away were saying, we want easies for tax cuts. And they've been kind of all over the place on what those tax cuts would look like. We still don't have a firm plan from them because they were meeting privately to discuss it yesterday.
We talked with Representative Steinicke today, who still said we're still working it out.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we hadn't heard until yesterday what Governor Evers wanted to use it on. And he said very definitively that I want to use it on education. You know, my understanding just from looking at the bill and a breakdown of the bill, it is $250 million total. And yeah, that would, because of the way that the school funding formula works, that would return the state to picking up 2/3 of the cost of education. It would, in practice, reduce property taxes kind of less directly than a tax rebate or something along those lines. But it would be that's how he would achieve some kind of a tax relief. This is something that Republicans said at the beginning session that they supported before, you know, right after the governor was inaugurated. They do not support it now, or they don't want to do it now. Speaker Voss said yesterday, but we could talk about that in the budget, but we're not going to talk about it now. Governor Evers knows that. And so that's kind of where things stand. You've got, at least in their public remarks, a pretty clear standoff between the two sides.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk more about what the governor had to say and things going on in the state capitol report in just a moment with Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. And we will go ahead and take your call shortly, too. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And if you want to take the email route, you can do that, too. It is ideas@WPR.org. Sean, we also talked about some dairy legislation with the governor. There are 8 bills that he's put forth, kind of announced a special session calling in the State of the State address. First, let's talk about the fact that the special session is kind of something that Republicans are willing to do.
Yeah, as opposed to the special session he called on education, they have been more open to the special session on agriculture. Assembly Republicans have just said, we just want to put our own mark on this, basically. And so they're talking about some type of a tax break to help small farmers cover the cost of health insurance and property taxes. They're talking about potentially putting more money into boosting exports. So they are not coming out right and saying, no, we don't support the governor's ideas. But, you know, what they end up passing could have more of a, their own stamp on it. It could be a situation there where both sides sort of claim victory.
All right. And when we are looking at the package of bills, how likely is it that these changes or these opportunities for the dairy industry will actually make it before the end of the session?
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, I haven't heard anything that makes me think that they won't do something. I would say that it's very certainly going to happen in some form. The Assembly wants to have its final session day on, I believe, the 20th of February. So 2 weeks from now, they have said that is going to be their final day. So they're going to have to move fast on this stuff, but they're very capable of moving fast when they want to. And they do all seem to be focused on exports. I thought it was interesting in your interview with the governor there. He said, we believe there's an oversupply of milk. Some people don't agree with that, but I think there is. You know, we hear a million experts say this, that there's an oversupply of milk. But to hear a governor say that, I thought was kind of noteworthy, too. You know, we're the dairy state. There's sort of this idea that we can produce more and more dairy all the time. Governor Evers is saying, you know, that's not the practical reality.
All right. Chris from Juneau wants to join the conversation. Chris, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks. Great show as usual. I got to comment that, you know, not education spending and not tax return. Years ago, the state withdrew local support for roads, and our local streets and roads are in horrible condition. We need transportation support. And as to the farmers, the easy common sense solution would just be have independent dairy farmers or farmers, period, eligible for the state benefit health program.
Oh, you mean when it comes to health care for farmers? Okay, thanks, Chris. Let's focus, though, on Chris's point about transportation. I mean, Republicans are talking about using the surplus potentially to pay down debt is the other side of the tax.
Potentially.
Right. So a huge issue in the debate over transportation funding levels includes that. Could we see a debate unfolding over road funding here, or is that not really on the table for them?
I haven't heard anybody talking about it at this point. And it is splitting hairs, but this is a general fund surplus. Not that we haven't used general fund money to pay for roads in the past, but typically they don't do that. And so they're looking at stuff that the general fund normally would pay for and tax cuts where the general fund would normally be applied. So I haven't heard them talking about roads. Actually, during a meeting of the Wisconsin Counties Association's Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said, I don't think we necessarily need to address transportation revenue in the next budget. You know, that they took some steps toward it in this budget, and in his mind, that might be enough. So it's Scott Fitzgerald. It's a good chance he's leaving the legislature, and there's going to be another majority leader. He's going to Congress. But it just gives you an idea of what some lawmakers think. They added some new revenue to the budget this year on transportation, and there may be there's a possibility they think they've done enough for a while.
And that's just such a different tone. I'm thinking back to the summer of 2017 where we, you know, hadn't gotten where we were dealing with budget issues, and there was all of this talk about transportation funding and how are we going to fix this. And it feels like that has been something we've talked about when it comes to the state legislature. And now you're saying some of the leaders here are saying we don't need to worry about it anymore right now.
It's possible that that's where their members are at. I mean, we'll see what's in the governor's next budget, you know, next February, whenever it comes out, and maybe he kind of restarts that discussion again. But that's not what people are focused on right now in the legislature.
All right. Mark from Richland Center is on the line now. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's interesting that the governor and the last governor, neither one of them, are interested that we should own a bank like they do in the state of North Dakota. The State Bank of North Dakota has been wrangling with what to do with their surplus in their state legislature for almost 100 years now. And the question is, why don't we own a bank? Because if we owned a bank, the proceeds from banking, as they do in North Dakota, all go into the general fund. So when several years ago our budget was questioning how are we going to pay for roads, they went to the banking sector to borrow money to pay for the road projects. But now we have debt service that has to be done. And that's a major portion of the state budget. But it's not a problem that they have in North Dakota, yet both the previous governor and the present governor will not even entertain the idea that we should own a bank that puts its own revenues directly into the budget. And I asked this question of the governor in his listening sessions before he'd even taken office, and he dismissed the idea before he'd even left the building.
All right, Mark, thanks for that idea. I have to admit, I don't know much about North Dakota and how they handle their banking and their state budget, but this issue of debt does
come up. I'm with you
there,
yeah. I mean, I think what Mark's talking about there is probably a question you ask of, like, the founders of Wisconsin, you know, in a way, and as the state has developed, you'd be talking about a constitutional change there in terms of how Wisconsin, the state, handles debt.
State does take on debt for different
projects.
If
you have a building project for roads, or you have a building project for, you know, vertical construction, it is paid for through issuance of debt, you know, kind of like the way that people buy houses with mortgages. It's the same philosophy.
And how then do you talk to lawmakers or the governor's office and ask them questions when we're dealing with a budget surplus and we, you know, we could use it for things, we could spend the money, or we could give the money back to people, or we could pay off debt? I mean, all of these things are happening at the same time and they're competing priorities.
Yeah, and I've heard Assembly Republicans say a few times that they want to potentially buy down some of that debt, which is an option the state has. It kind of nibbles away at debt in small waves from time to time, budget cycle. So, you know, maybe that's something you'll see this time. I will say that if, like, they can't agree, if the governor says, I want to do something on schools, and Republicans say, no, we're going to do tax cuts, they don't pass his school bill, he doesn't sign their tax cuts or vetoes their tax cuts, then the state is looking at just kind of sitting on this money, and it'll just be there. And, you know, maybe it could be used to do all this stuff in the next budget cycle. But that's another option that, you know, I don't think is being discussed too frequently right now, because everybody's saying, here's what I want to do. Nobody's saying, let's do nothing.
Right.
But that's an actual possibility.
That they just can't come to consensus and they do nothing, or they choose to do nothing.
It's an election year, and that's a factor, too. But there's a possibility that they just can't agree.
All right. We're talking with Sean Johnson, who is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, expanding our conversation about things that are happening in state government. Want to know what's important to you, how you feel as a registered voter? What do you think about different things that are happening out of the state capitol and the relationship between the governor and lawmakers? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. This is The Morning Show. We're spending this hour going through the latest news from Wisconsin's elected leaders. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina. We've got WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us. And there's room for you in our conversation. Let us know, what are your priorities for the state legislature and the governor's office? How do you want to see them improve your life here in Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. And let's talk about it together here on the Ideas Network. Sean, something we should mention is that the Republicans have so-called tough on crime legislation. It's a package of bills. Where do we stand with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think as you look at sort of the issues that have gotten a lot of attention at the Capitol and could actually make their way to the governor's desk, this seems like one of the candidates. And it's interesting because you have seen these sort of two factions of the Republican Party here, where you now have Republicans, very prominent Republicans, saying we need criminal justice reform. You know, you saw this from the White House. You saw this. You've seen this from, you know, Grover Norquist, and a lot of that. And so you have this sort of diverging bill here from a number of Republicans, including Republican leaders, which would be tougher on crime, which would put more people behind bars potentially, which would increase corrections costs. And you're talking about people who violate the terms of their probation would be returned to prison, put more juveniles who commit crimes behind bars, limit when inmates can be released from prison early, stuff like that. And this is moving through the legislature. And, you know, lawmakers know that Governor Evers has said that I want to reduce the prison population, that we spend too much on prisons. And so how does that square with the governor? You know, it could be a situation where the legislature puts this package of bills on his desks and says, we want to be tough on crime, and puts him in a position where, you know, he has to, if he doesn't agree with the bills, he's got to veto them. So I think that'd be something that you got to watch.
Okay, we'll pay attention to those for sure. And then we also know that the state Supreme Court recently decided not to review a case that involves whether to remove more than 200,000 names from the state's voter rolls. What does that mean for voters?
Right now, it means that basically nothing's going to change. It looks like, you know, I don't want to say nothing will ever change, but like, but for the spring election, it looks like those people who were flagged by the state as having potentially moved, who were at risk of having names be immediately removed, that those names will be on the list. That because the state Supreme Court decided not to take this case on an expedited appeal, it's going to work its way through the traditional appeal system. And the Court of Appeals has said, let's put everything on hold. They issued a stay while we work this thing out.
And let's step back. Remind us how this all began in the first place.
Yeah. So these people were flagged as having potentially moved by a multi-state system that Wisconsin is part of that accesses a variety of government records, like departments of motor vehicles, to match up addresses and, you know, identify people who maybe shouldn't be listed on as being registered at whatever address they're registered. And most of the time, it gets those names right. But the last time the state did this, there were quite a few people who were flagged as having, you know, moved, and they did not move. And so they were removed from the rolls mistakenly. The state wanted to avoid that this time around. A conservative law firm said, no, you can't do that. The law says you have to remove these lists. It got into the court system. That's where we are today.
All right. We'll keep paying attention to where that's going then. We're talking with Sean Johnson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. He is also the host of the WPR Politics podcast. And we're wondering what you think the biggest issue is facing Wisconsin right now and what you'd like to see your elected officials do about it. Also, taking your calls, what should the state do with its budget surplus? 800-642-1234. Sean, let's talk about alcohol. There's legislation that would extend bar hours during the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee this summer. What's the status here?
The status here is that this has turned into one of those end of session members of the alcohol industry kind of fighting it out type of bills is what it looks like sort of, you know, from a distance.
Some drama.
There's it seems like whenever there's a big bill about alcohol laws, right, there is very, very big drama at the Capitol. A lot of very busy people, a lot of very busy lobbyists on this stuff. So the bill, I guess there's this underlying idea that restaurants in particular, businesses in southeast Wisconsin, want to be able to have later bar hours during the DNC, because you're going to have this huge captive audience that is coming in for the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. The DNC is geared for primetime television, so it's going to go late. They're going to get out of the convention, and all these businesses, if they want to take advantage of all these people there, they want to have a later bar time so people can drink there until 4 a.m. Right now, it's 2 a.m. on weekdays, 2:30 on weekends. So that's sort of like the simple bill. That's what they want to do. But
But it's not that simple.
It's not that simple because the Tavern League in particular has pushed for attaching this to a bill to regulate wedding barns in Wisconsin. That's so you now have this bill that would not only deal with DNC borrowers, it would kind of revive this thorny idea of regulating wedding barns. These are, you know, barns that people have where people have used them to host weddings, receptions. Taverns say they are, you know, essentially operating as bars while not paying the same fees or undergoing the same regulations that their members are undergoing. So they want to regulate these people. It's and you've got a lot of like free market conservatives who are very much against that in the legislature. So a really thorny issue has been attached to this DNC bar hours issue. And so, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. I'm not sure that there's interest in the Senate right now in particular to move on this quickly with just a few weeks left in session.
Right, because they would need to decide before session is over. So they would need to make that decision soon.
Yeah, and anytime you get into alcohol laws, it's like you're picking a side in a big fight if you're a legislator. So I don't know if they're going to do that.
We've had a bunch of listeners call or email this hour that we weren't able to get to. Kevin from Barneveld had a question about our aging infrastructure. Christopher and Adams wanted to talk about school vouchers. Judy in Verona has issues with the Public Service Commission. I mean, our listeners run the gamut with their priorities and things that, you know, keep them up at night. What are some of the top issues that you hear lawmakers trying to address before the end of this session?
You know, there's a lot of focus on water quality bills this session. I would say there's actual bipartisan work on, you know, a variety of water quality initiatives. This is something that I think especially in the assembly, you had the speaker's task force on water quality. You had Republican, Democratic members coming out in support of these bills, which I know we focus on the stuff that they disagree on a lot, and there's plenty of that. But this seems to be something where they might have some agreements this session.
We've heard even from the governor today saying, I'm open to compromise. We've heard Republican lawmakers say, sure, we'll compromise on some things. But we haven't, I mean, for the big issues, it's felt like that's been a little bit of a strain. Are you seeing that change a little bit? I mean, what is the tone there? Is it still, are we still at impasse, or are the Democratic governor's office and the Republican lawmakers better figuring out where they can give a little bit?
I think it depends on the issue. Uh-huh. Depends on the issue. When you have a Democratic governor coming out and saying, you know, using his platform as the governor at his State of the State address, calling a special session saying, let's help farmers, let's help the dairy industry. I mean, and do Republican lawmakers really have a choice in that situation? Like, that's a key constituency for them. And so you've seen them say, yeah, let's do it. And we got some more ideas, Governor. When it comes to how to spend a state surplus, tax cuts versus school spending, you're not seeing very early cooperation on that. When it comes to the governor calling a special session on you know, gun control legislation, mandatory background checks, a red flag law. Obviously, that got no cooperation in the legislature, where Republicans see the issue very differently. So it just always depends on the issue.
Put special session calls into context. I mean, we've seen Governor Evers call it on guns, on dairy, on this surplus funding for schools. Is this typical? Do governors call a lot of special sessions?
They can. And I mean, if you've got a legislature that isn't going to, you know, really listen to you, it's one way for a governor to come out and publicly, you know, take a stand. I mean, it let the governor introduce this bill on, you know, spending state resources on schools yesterday. So it's a step that the governor can take. But what does the legislature do in these special sessions? They might just like kind of like gavel it in, gavel it out, or, you know, take it up on a regular special session day or a regular session day. They don't have to come in on a certain date and, it's not a big ceremony like you might think. It's just kind of a formality.
All right, Sean, thank you so much. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.